thank you for joining me again today. And it's actually thank you for joining us. I'm here again with Brent Fulton. He's the president of China Source and the author of China's Urban Christians. And Brent, when we left off last time, we were talking about Ephesians chapter 3, and I was asking you what's some scripture that's meant the most to you in your life. And I also believe John chapter 17 means a lot to you. Tell us about that.
It certainly does. In John chapter 17, Jesus is about ready to go to the cross. And before he does, he's just spent a considerable time with his followers, giving them some last-minute instructions, if you will, some rich teaching about their relationship with him and with the Father. And then in John chapter 17, he prays to the Father, and he prays for his disciples. But then he prays also for all believers, all of those who will believe on his name. He prays for you and me. And his prayer there in John chapter 17 is for unity. He prays that they may be one, that the world may know that he was sent by the Father. And he repeats that phrase in two very similar ways in a couple of verses there in John chapter 17, beginning around verse 20. The idea that the world will know who Jesus is because of our unity as believers. It's a very powerful idea, and it says to me that our witness as Christians cannot be separated from our relationships. In fact, our witness as believers is integrally tied to our relationships as believers. Because what he's saying is that a watching world will see how Christians treat one another. And when they see that Christians demonstrate in their own relationships the same unity that they have in their relationship with Christ and that Christ has in his relationship with the Father, then they will know that there's something unique about these Christians, and that will be to them a picture of who Jesus is. It's a very, in some ways, a very mysterious idea. I often still have a hard time getting my arms around it, but I think it's also a very practical idea in that when we talk about the Great Commission, yeah, we talk about going, we talk about teaching, making disciples, but here Jesus is saying, as you go, as you share Christ, people are going to be looking at your relationships with one another, and that's going to speak very loudly to the people that you're going to. God gave me those verses in a very special way back in the mid-1990s. I was already involved in China at that time, and was kind of considering my next steps in terms of China ministry, and was seeing that there were many, many organizations in the United States, where I was at the time, who were getting involved in China. They were doing great things. They were discovering wonderful things. It was a time of great opportunity in China as China continued to open up. But they weren't necessarily talking to each other. They weren't learning from each other. And I felt that if they could come together and work together more effectively, that the gospel would be advanced in a better way, just in a practical sense. You know, if we work together, we get more done. China's a huge place. There's no way one organization can begin to meet all the needs within China. But on a deeper level, the Lord impressed upon me these verses from John 17, that it's not just a matter of getting more done, but it's really a matter of submitting ourselves to him and allowing him to knit our hearts together in such a way that we will, the way we relate to one another, we will demonstrate that unity that we have in Christ, and his word will go forward as a result. It was that conviction then that eventually led to the formation of China Source in the late 1990s, and now we're here celebrating our 20th anniversary as an organization.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Friends, I know China Source well, and it is doing great work. And let me just give you the website again for China Source. You could check it out for yourself today. Just go to chinasource.org. So chinasource.org. You can find out a lot more on China from that website. It's a fascinating website. It's the type of website you go to, and like 2 or 3 hours later, you suddenly remember that you had something else that you needed to be doing. So set aside some time for that today and check it out. Now, Brent, can you tell us, maybe give us an overview of sorts, as to what China Source does?
Well, we really seek to be an effective bridge between what God is doing in his church in China and the global church. God is doing incredible things in China, And oftentimes there's a disconnect between what's happening there and believers around the world who may want to know what's going on in China, but really don't have a way of knowing that. Of course, there's distance, there's language barriers, there's cultural barriers, a lot of things that keep us from understanding one another. And as China becomes a really a prominent player on the world scene, a much more influential nation, I think it's all the more important that we, outside of China, really understand China better and understand what our brothers and sisters in China are facing so that we might pray for one another effectively and we might be able to work together, find ways of effectively partnering together. But in order for that to happen, there needs to be some bridging between the church inside and the church outside China.
So if people go to your website, they could actually get in touch with you and your colleagues at China Source, and you can help them navigate some of these issues and some of these perhaps even boundary issues or complexities,
yes.
Difficulties?
Yeah, we do that in a number of different ways. We have several publications available on our website. We're putting out new content every day now. And so we've got people who are in China, working in various ways in ministry and in other ways, writing from their experience to help us better understand what God's doing in all these different niches. We have something that comes out every Tuesday called Chinese Church Voices, where we're providing English translations of things that Chinese believers are writing on the web in China. And so we can dip into the conversations that they're having and understand what their concerns and what their visions are, which is always very interesting. We, in addition to the publications and online resources, China Source over the years has done scores of conferences where we bring together believers from around the world together with Chinese Christians just to sit down and understand from one another, share what we're learning, and find some practical ways of working together.
And China Voices would be in the English language, correct?
Chinese Church Voices is in the English language, right? So it's translations of things that Chinese believers are writing in China.
Now, can we just for a moment talk about maybe some of the myths that American Christians have about China? For example, did you catch that, folks? These would be Chinese people in mainland China writing in Chinese. Then that gets translated into English and goes up on your website.
Sure.
And then the English-speaking world can get it. That to me kind of sounds like it breaks a myth that a lot of American Christians may have, that the people that are within China cannot get their voices heard, literally around the world through a website such as yours. Is that a myth? And are there other myths that perhaps we in the U.S. have?
Well, I think there are a few prominent narratives that we outside China as believers try to use to understand the church in China. And all the narratives have an element of the truth, but none of them are sufficient to really paint the whole picture. And so what you've just mentioned is a example of what we often refer to as the persecution narrative. We assume that Christians in China are all persecuted. Therefore, for them to be putting things out for the church outside China, well, that couldn't happen, could it? The fascinating thing is that when we do Chinese Church Voices, we are dipping into things that believers in China are writing on the internet in China. We often hear about this great firewall that the Chinese government has put up to keep the bad stuff outside from coming into China. And so a lot of news sites and Google and Facebook, Twitter, they're all blocked. You can't get them inside China because of this great firewall. Well, within the firewall, our brothers and sisters in China are putting up thousands of websites, and they're having vibrant conversations on WeChat, which is the popular messaging platform in China. And they're putting up videos of sermons and teaching and all kinds of things. There's just a very vibrant Christian community online in China, really in spite of the Great Firewall, because it's all produced within China. And as we realized that about 5 years ago and began to dip into it ourselves, we said, this is fascinating. This really breaks our paradigm, doesn't it? And so we said, believers around the world need to know what Chinese Christians are talking about. Let's not just talk about them, which was what we had been doing for a long time as we were trying to understand the Church of China. Let's let them speak for themselves. And so that gave birth to the Chinese Church Voices Project.
Fascinating. So get on the website today, chinasource.org, and read what they're writing. I'm Mark Swallow. This is God Is, and I'm talking in these days together with Dr. Brent Fulton, president of China Source. And Brent, let's definitely mention your book and get into the book a little bit if we can today. We'll have to carry this over till next time. But the book is China's Urban Christians, A Light That Cannot Be Hidden. And we're giving away 10 free copies of this book signed by Brent. So contact me today if you'd like your free copy. Otherwise, you can go to Amazon.com and get it. China's Urban Christians by Brent Fulton. Brent, let me ask you this in the short time we have left for today. Why did you write the book?
Well, Mark, as I mentioned, we use some narratives to try to understand the church in China. And not all of them, well, all of them have a grain of truth to them. But none of them can really tell the whole story. And so as I have been talking with believers outside China about the church in China over the years, I realized that, yeah, there are bits and pieces of news coming out and people have different perspectives on the church in China, but there was a big chunk of that picture missing. And so my intention was to point to things that were happening in the church in China that maybe weren't being picked up by believers outside, to give a more full picture of what the lives of believers in China are really like, what their concerns are. And the theme of the book, of course, is urbanization, which has been reshaping the whole landscape of China, and how the church is responding to that urbanization, and how that urbanization is actually producing great new opportunities for the church in China. That's what I wanted to dig into in the book.
Excellent. And so what we're going to do when you come back to Mars, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Brent Fulton. We're going to talk about urban Christians in China. If there's an urban church, there must be a suburban church or a rural church. We'll talk about that as well and get into much, much more as we continue along here together. Our guest is Dr. Brent Fulton. We're in Hong Kong this week. And so, friends, I hope you'll tell a friend about this, maybe someone you know who's interested in China, maybe a Chinese friend, a family member, a colleague. Invite them to come along and join us tomorrow for God Is.